Well, amen. Good morning. Welcome to Teaching Others Also. We're going to do what I call a bonus broadcast, and we're going to get right into it for the sake of time and keep it to a radio broadcast type of thing. Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. It's their ornament. Pride is their ornament. Violence is their garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast hold me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Who have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. There's a quick bonus passage we're going to do today for a few minutes. I was reading this morning and just couldn't move on from it, reading through my Psalms. And the verse that stuck out to me is in context of what we've been doing lately in our broadcast is in verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Now, we're going to look at three things. In this brief time, we're going to capsulize it, but three things in the passage. The first one is, God is good. Notice it in the passage. You could mark it. You could highlight it with your highlighter like I've been encouraging you to do. You could circle it with your Bible marking pen. God is good. Now, we've heard the phrase, God is good always. God is good every time. God is good. Now, notice that the psalmist, this psalm of Asaph, the psalmist says, God is good. He starts with, God is good. He ends with, but it is, verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. So we start with, we end with, God is good. Now he's going through a passage here, and a course, you might say, of thinking. It might have taken him one prayer session. It might have taken him a couple days. It might have been something that was in the subconscious of his mind for a long time, like many of us have done before. The current climate that we live in politically and spiritually and financially, this would be an easy thing to have happen. So he says God is good. We start with that. We end with that. Now, Yes, you're going to have a little passage where you, because the second point is getting off course. But let's go back, okay? 3 points. God is good, getting off course, and then go into God's presence. Let me say this to you. Please listen, think about it, meditate on it this weekend. We've been sending out our radio broadcast Monday through Friday. This is a Saturday morning, and I just moved my heart to do that. I had something else I was going to send out to you later on, making your voice heard. And I think you're going to be surprised what it's about. But that'll be a while in the future. But here's the deal. In the world. They are in the world. Now, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. God is good. You know, it's not just that he's good in what he does. It's that he is good, and you can see that he's good if you keep your heart clean. Now look, listen up, please, okay? He said it was too painful for him in verse 16, okay? He said in verse 3, I was envious at the foolish. So my heart can get unclean with envy. You could be abstaining from so many things that the world does. You could abstain from alcohol and liquor and sex and money and all that, but you could still be envious. And envy is a bad one. Go to Galatians 5 sometime, look at the works of the flesh. So he said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious. And then he says he was envious because he saw the prosperity of the wicked. But he started with, God is good. Don't let that ever get too far from your thoughts. God is good. When you wake up in the morning, God is good. Before you retire at night, God is good. Remember, evening, morning, and at noon. Okay? Evening, morning, and at noon. God is good. All right? Then getting off course. Now we've read the passage, read the whole chapter, so I don't want to read back through there, but notice the envy of verse 3. Listen, envy is defined in English. It's an uneasiness at several things, at superiority of someone or perceived superiority or success. It is a discontent. I read this little line the other day where one of these Hollywood guys or whatever they are, actors, spent $1 million on a watch. Someone says, well, how can they do that? Because they've got more than $1 million. They got more money than they know what to do with. And it says that in this passage, that they do whatever they want. And they live by pride. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Listen, discontent with your own lot in life often will come. It'll get you off course if you look at those in the world. Verse 12. Okay? He said, God is good. Then he said, my feet were almost gone. So you're going to get, that means he was off course. When your feet are almost gone, you're off course. You've taken a bad turn somewhere. You're on the wrong path. I think of walking and marching. I spent so many hours, hundreds and thousands of hours on my feet, working, walking, all that kind of stuff. You get off course. Not just envy, but look, exaggeration. We are tempted to exaggerate our lot in life down and others up and create this gap between them. But the problem is you're missing something. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with I have enough, no matter what we have, is a great gain. Yes, sometimes you'll ask the Lord for some kind of blessing. I get all that. I get it. And often he'll grant it. But godliness with contentment is great gain. We're tempted to envy. We're tempted to exaggerate. You know what else it is? We're on the edge. Envy is in the passage. Exaggeration is in the passage. And he's on the edge. He's on the edge. He said, as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He's He's on the edge of out, is how I put it. He's on the edge of out. Remember the little boy, they tucked him in bed one night and went back downstairs in the old days when people had some kind of order and discipline to their lives. And they heard a big old thump and went up there and he'd rolled out of that bed. And mama said, "What happened, son? What happened?" And he says, "I don't know, mother." He said, "I guess I stayed too close to the getting in, to the getting outside." In other words, when he got into bed, he stayed too close to the edge. This psalmist says, "As for me," verse 2, "my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." He's on the edge of out. How'd he get there? He got off course. Got a little more off course. Got a little more off course. Got a little more off course. And then he's on the edge of out. Why? Envy? Exaggeration? What's he done? He has lost sight that God is good to Israel, even to such of a clean heart. How'd he do that? He got his eyes. His eyes were somewhere else. His eyes were on the world. His eyes were on those in the world. Okay? So we have to understand, what are you going to spend your time looking at? I've believed for years and years, and I understand. Many of us understand when we needed parts for things and fixing up stuff, you know, for the dealership and everything, we would use stuff like, you know, online buying and all that sort of thing. I get all that. I can remember before any of that as a little fella, you know, my grandmother dragging me along to the Lazarus department store way up north a long time ago in the 60s. The 1960s, not the 1860s. All right, so anyway, he gets off course. And he's on the edge of out. Now, I understand you might shop and do that, but would you understand that, and a fellow said this years ago, I heard it, he said, when you get all that kind of stuff going, he said, get outdoors and just appreciate what God made. Okay, now a lot of guys, it's hard for them to get outdoors without spending a lot of money. I saw a little ad for an audio file, a video that said, hiding your hunting budget from your wife. Well, I don't recommend that, amen. If you've got that kind of hunting budget, you might want to, you know, reevaluate it. Now, third thing before we run out of time. So God is good. In the beginning and the end, God is good. Getting off course can just happen by envy, by exaggeration, by having our eyes on those in the world. And if we're not careful, we're on the edge of out. But then, verse 15, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Go into God's presence. Now, I know for some people, the very first application they're going to make of the sanctuary is they're going to say, well, get to church. Well, I hate to tell you, but you don't spend enough time in church, no matter how often your church meets, to compare to understanding that you get into the sanctuary of God when you go to Him. When you go to your prayer closet, when you have your devotional time, when you come in, you can come into His presence all the time. And when you do, you realize how perilous the world's life is, how perilous their time on earth is, how perilous and how sudden it's going to be. Verse 20 describes it as a dream. When one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Look, verse 19, how are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. And he said, verse 23, now verse 21, thus my heart was grieved, my heart was pricked in my reins, so foolish was I, ignorant. I was as a beast before thee, nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Listen, God will straighten you out. God will get you back on course. Bob Jones Sr. said, give God your heart, He'll straighten out the kinks in your head. In other words, He'll straighten out when you get all tangled up, get off course, entangled. God is good. Getting off course, it's easy. So go into God's presence and understand He had a hold of you all the time and He's with you all the time. We're not of this world, even though there are some who are in this world. We're of God's world. God be with you.